lot of ways here, and he'll explain exactly why. Bert Odelson, one of our favorite attorneys, who's been a friend of this show for the better part of a decade. And we had some fun over the years. We've disrupted a few things over the years, and quite honestly, Rahm Emanuel's want to kill both of us at some different one time or another in our lives. All right, but here's the thing, Bert. First of all, let's start with the Janus case. This is the thing the Supreme Court ruled on right before the Justice Kennedy, who was the swing vote in this, stepped away from the bench. And I do wonder now if your thought on this. How is this case that now allows for unions? This is specifically about Illinois, but it applies to the rest of the nation. Members of that work for government but are not part of a government union, AFSCME or Teamsters or whatever it happens to be, no longer have to pay dues.
It is a game changer. It's a game changer for Illinois as well as the other states, which required fair share or agency dollars to be paid from people who didn't want their First Amendment rights abridged by the union that was representing the collective bargaining unit that they were a member of or chose not to be a member of. This means, as Governor Rauner has just released to the state of Illinois, that people who do not choose to be in the union now will not have to pay $737 a year for a state employee versus the $911 per year the union employee pays. That non-union employee still gets the benefits of the collective bargaining agreement and the benefits of representation when he or she needs representation. This is an absolute game changer in Illinois. Now, what's interesting, the federal government has not had this rule, and 28 different states don't have this rule. So Illinois is finally catching up, but it took us to get to the United States Supreme Court to catch up. This will affect municipalities. This will affect the state. This will affect school districts.
Can you give us a practical example of how?
And it'll affect the unions, because now the unions cannot just sit back and collect the fair share from those who don't want to participate. They will have to step up and prove their worth, like they did when they first started, as to what value is it for the worker to have someone representing them. So
Could you see a moment in which state employees in a particular bargaining unit for AFSCME, let's say, because that's the big one in Illinois, that they decide to decertify the union? Like if, name your department that decide the employees there, can they do that without decertifying all the other departments? Or would it just be, let's say people at, I don't know, just I'm just off the top of my head, at the Illinois Department of IEPA or something, they decide they want to get rid of AFSCME?
There's a procedure right now that they can decertify. They have to file cards with the Illinois State Labor Board. They have an election. They have an election, and then they can decertify and either be independent or go to a different union. So that procedure is in place right now.
The person at the center of this, Mark Janus, an Illinois child support specialist, he said that he didn't like the idea that his money would go to political messages or political activities that were at odds with his beliefs. And that's where the Supreme Court agreed with him. However, the collective bargaining that he would be benefiting from would remain the same for someone who doesn't contribute anymore. So if you stop paying your union dues, I think what the other side of this is that you still get the same benefits. So why would people pay union dues? And then you weaken unions, right?
That's exactly the game changer, because the court did recognize, and again, it's an 80-page decision and I haven't read the entire thing, but the court did recognize the potential for free riders, those people who don't want to pay their union dues but take the benefit of the union's collective bargaining positions with the employer. So they get all the benefits without paying towards the union. Now, the opposite in what the court ruled is you can't pay into a union if you don't want them to express your political expression, or they're expressing something that is not your political view. It's a violation of your First Amendment rights. So this is a and the court was really firm. It's unconstitutional as of today. So look at the other implications, and I'm probably giving a smart lawyer out there a leg up. They said
in other words, Bert's already beaten you to this.
No, I didn't have time. I had to come down here. For 40 years, the Supreme Court said that these people have been paying an unconstitutional amount of money to the unions. Well, class actions, recover money that they've paid that the Supreme Court today said was illegal and unconstitutional.
To pay into these political funds.
Into the unions.
Into the unions' political funds.
Correct, into the unions' political funds. Now,
so, like, so for Teamsters, for example.
For any of them, right.
Right, but let me, I just throw anything, ABC union, whatever it happens to be, that union, it, for these many years that has been involved in buying political ads on behalf of its members, and that for big unions, whether it's AFSCME or it's Teamsters or it's some, you know, other large player here, that could be, you know, in the billions of dollars.
Billions.
Mm-hmm. Billions of dollars.
One key line, you'll appreciate this in Illinois from the case that I pulled out. It is an odd feature of our First Amendment cases that political patronage has been deemed largely unconstitutional, while forced subsidization of union speech has been largely permitted.
As a lawyer, did you, in reading, I don't know if you had time to read the entire decision here, but what, as you've been looking at it, do you think it's good law, or do you think it was a judicious decision on their part?
It reversed their decision from 1977 in a case called Abood versus Detroit Board of Education, which allowed for fair share.
Mm-hmm.
Is it good law? It's good law today in a 5-4 decision. But you have to go back to 1977 when unions really didn't cover the public, government sector as much as they do now.
Private sector.
It was unanimous court decision. Looked it up. It was unanimous court decision that set this in place in 77, which included 4 very conservative Republicans as well as 5 very liberal Democrats. So back then, it was looked at the right thing to do. Philosophically, we've changed. So the court has changed, which now will change more because of Justice Kennedy.
To that point,
yes.
Justice Kennedy going away.
Yes.
There's a couple. There's 3 top contenders that are being floated right now.
Mm-hmm.
Judge Judy, Judge Jeanine Pirro, and Judge Mathis.
Pirro is campaigning for it on Twitter right now. If you check her Twitter handle.
Yeah, we're reaching out to her.
Hey,
we're trying to get
up?
All of her. But seriously, there are 3 candidates that they're talking about now. The one who came up was, you know, the second in line to Gorsuch. If Gorsuch didn't want it. And you've got this woman who's an Indiana
Amy
judge.
Coney Barrett. She's right. U.S. Court of Appeals, 7th Circuit, out of Indiana.
Right. So that's here. That's based here.
Yeah, right.
And that's an interesting thing, a couple of Notre Dame folks in this. So do you think that people are saying this is going to change America for the next generation or two, whatever decision this is? Are they overstating that?
No. Because Kennedy has always been viewed as a swing vote, so he goes
social issues especially.
Yes. Social issues, he was swing on Trump,
gay rights, gay
rights,
marriage, abortion,
Roe v. Wade,
But on the other hand, he was with the administration on Trump versus Hawaii on the Muslim ban, so he did swing that the conservative way.
Right.
In that case, the next nominee, the next Supreme Court justice, won't. It'll be a hardliner conservative. And you're going to see a solid 5-4. So this is a game changer. The next one will be the real game changer.
And conservatives on the court are relatively young.
Yes.
Compared to the liberals on the court.
Correct.
Yeah.
This will last.
I think the oldest is Clarence Thomas now, if I'm not mistaken.
Ginsburg.
No, Ginsburg's not conservative.
Okay.
You're talking about the oldest justice?
The oldest conservative justice. The oldest block.
Roberts?
No, Roberts is young.
No.
It would be Thomas.
Yeah.
But Ginsburg is up there in her years.
Right.
She could go any time.
85.
Don't say it like that, Bert.
Go, I mean retire. Retire.
And Breyer is 79.
Correct. Yeah. So
Clarence Thomas, only 70 in comparison. So Ginsburg's got 15 years on him.
But of all of the conservatives, you got Gorsuch, you got Roberts, you got Thomas. And then the lost one, that's the one I always forget, Pete Best, which is the
Alito.
Right. Yeah. Those are folks who are going to be around for a long time.
They're there. Yes, yeah. They're there. So this next appointee, and I don't see it coming until after the midterm elections. I think the Democrats will be able to stall
it. How are they going to stall it, though?
Yeah, how does that work?
They don't have the filibuster anymore.
That's what they're talking about.
You know what they're going to do? They're going to trip on themselves in the hallway and hold up traffic. I mean, I've done that. I can't do my ankle.
Senator Durbin is proposing doing just that.
Do
you think there's a plan in the works, or are you just supposing?
I'm supposing. I don't know that there is, but I would think there would be because, again, this is a game changer. This solidifies the 5-4. And as lawyers who practice in the courts,
And you just had a big decision. I did. 30 seconds left here. But you just had a big decision on this rule of three.
In the United States Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit, Justice Easterbrook, one of the most highly regarded justices in the United States, gave a phenomenal decision, obviously because I won.
How does he look? He's got a really nice haircut, too. Yeah, go ahead.
Very handsome man.
He ends the decision. You'll appreciate this for Chicago. This will go down in ages. The price of political dirty tricks must be collected at the ballot box rather than the courthouse. In other words, he said, take your political games and keep it in the streets. Don't bring them here anymore. They ruled the rule of three.
Which means
a government like the city of Chicago could put three referendum questions on the ballot and block a citizen initiative question like former Governor Quinn is trying to bring now. So as
term
of today,
limits is what he wants.
Correct. And this was a term limit case that I won in the United States Court of Appeals, allowed term limits to be on the ballot and was successful in Calumet City. The city council today are passing three referendums to block the Quinn initiative. And they said it's constitutional, you can do
so
it.
They can do it, just it's a blocking move.
You just fill up the ballot with three of them and then nobody else can get theirs in.
Right. You're right. That's it. That's right.
So now they only want to do two. They could put they'll have to decide which public referendum would be of interest to them, but they would probably do it themselves if they wanted it like
correct.
That. Yeah.
Correct.
So it's consolidating power around the government even further.
More.
We're living
more
in a
so.
More
oh
autocratic
gosh.
World, are we not,
well,
Bert Odelson?
Well, that's what you're dealing with now with the Supreme Court ruling, with the United States Court of Appeals
Don't
ruling.
Don't you find that so amazing in an era in which conservatism, and conservatives were the ones who were about personal freedom and individual rights and smaller government and less powerful government, and we're finding this now? Isn't it odd, the irony of that, or is it intentional? Was this the plan the whole time?
Yeah, I can't tell you, but it's having an impact on voter turnout and people participating and being disgusted and not going to the polls anymore. It's really, as election lawyers, we see it more and more. The pool gene for voters is declining.
I'm having palpitations right now. Bert,
enjoy
I wish
the
you were a doctor.
Dollar hot dog night at the White Sox, okay?
Yes, exactly. Bert,
just
I'll
forget
see you
about
it. We're going to see Bert out there tonight.
Yeah, we'll be out there with my whole office. It'll be fun.
All right. Get you up on the scoreboard. No big deal. All right, hold on. Let's check with Judy what's coming up at the top of the hour.
The CTU says it will survive.
Violetta?